You know, the part I like best about church is when everyone gets up and greets each other. And so I would encourage you to stand up and greet each other today and say hello. So Gary said that God gives us very special trials that are designed for each of us. And yesterday I was down trying to sell tickets for Rotary at the Canadian Tire store. And they put all these flowers right near the door. And I put my hand down to write, and I put my hand on this bee, and it stung me. And I have to confess today, Lord, that I said some words I shouldn't have said. And Martha was worried about what sort of model I was over there at the Canadian Tire as a Christian. So, Lord, forgive me for those words.
Is that why you didn't sell any tickets?
And that may be why no tickets were sold that day. Right? So I'm dressed especially, you know. Howdy Doody had a brother, and his brother's name was Double Duty.
Oh.
And I'm doing double duty today. This shirt and this tie is for, you know, today and for this afternoon. So double duty. So I have a question for the group. We went to Edmonton to visit our son. We were out for breakfast with our good friend, the missionary, who's been in Colombia for 30 years, and he's just returned. After 30 years of planting churches, just an amazing couple. And he asked me this question: why did Jesus come to earth? So I pose that question to you this morning, and I want to hear what your answers are. Why did Jesus come to earth?
He came to seek and save those who were lost.
To save the lost.
To show us the way.
Show us the way.
Teach us to love
one another.
To fulfill prophecy.
To fulfill prophecy. That's true. The whole Old Testament was leading as a prophecy. Yeah. Norm.
Sacrifices for everything almost, but Jesus, he provided the ultimate and only sacrifice.
to provide the ultimate sacrifice.
To light a fire within.
To light a fire. You know, these are all accurate and good and real. And yet, the point that he was making to me was that the reason why Jesus came to earth was so that we could have a personal relationship with God the Father. And that he is the way. So, the first point I'd like to make is that Jesus came to earth to restore us in our relationship with God the Father. John 14:7-7 says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, if Jesus hadn't have come to earth, we wouldn't have had that way to get back to God the Father. And one of the things that points that he made was that as you progress through the Bible, you will see the relationship that we have with God increases. You know, Moses gave the law, and when they went to the temple and they did their sacrifices, they weren't really close to God because God was on the other side of the curtain and only the high priest could go in there. And so the people didn't really have that closer relationship with God. But as we go through the Bible and into the New Testament, we start to see that he wants to have a relationship with us, a personal relationship. Now, because the wages of sin is death, Jesus came to remove our sins so that we can be in a right relationship with God. And consequently, hear God's truth. If we can't be in a right relationship with God, we can't really hear his truth. So in Colossians 1:13-14, it says, for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so, saving the lost and showing us the way, yes, and when he did that sacrifice on the cross and he took our sin upon him, he freed us to be able to have a relationship with God that was free. That the sin was removed, the death of the sin was removed, and we are now free to be able to have a relationship with God that's beautiful. Now, one of the things that happens is that when we're born into this earth, and you know when I get up to the front and I speak, I talk about sort of the human psyche and how we come into this world as a blank slate, and this fallen world around us informs us about who we are. I'm a bad person, or I'm a sinner, or I'm not good enough, or I'll never measure up, or whatever all those negative words are that people hear. And yet those aren't the words of truth that God wants us to hear. He wants us to live in freedom. Now, the fallen world has a fallen lord. Satan was thrown down from heaven to earth, and he is the prince of the air. He is the king of this territory. You know, when Satan took Jesus into the desert, he said, let me show you the kingdoms. Let me show you what I'm in control of. So A, there is a Satan, and B, there is a kingdom of earth. And so one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth was to defeat fear and all the ways that the devil has kept us in bondage. So when we weren't saved, we were in bondage, and Satan controlled our thinking. 1 John 3:8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's one of the reasons why Jesus came to earth, was to destroy the devil's work. Hebrews 2:14, since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, too, shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So, he came to deal with our sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the sin also blocks us, keeps us in bondage, keeps us in fear, so that we can't recognize the truth and see the truth. A fourth reason why Jesus came to earth was to transform our lives with his truth so that we can live full and abundant lives. John 8:32, if you hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, Jesus brought teaching, and his teaching is recorded in the Bible. And that truth sets us free. And when we are free, we are able to have a relationship with God, Father God and Holy Spirit, that is beautiful. In John 10:10, it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to earth so that we may have life and have a full and abundant life. So when Gary was saying, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to see Jesus. Okay, that's great. We are going to see Jesus, but we don't have to wait. We now have an ability to have a full and abundant life here while we're on earth. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of the truth that he brought to us. And so he came to free us for a reason, so that we can serve others in love. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it is not for freedom that Christ has set us free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. So that's the purpose of his setting us free. He came to set us free, but there's a purpose in it, so that we would serve others in love. And so that means we as a community should be serving each other, as Betty is serving us with a library so that we can have information and videos if you've never seen the movie Amish Grace, you've got to see it. It's just the most amazing movie about forgiveness. And then as we as a community reach outside of us to Bracebridge and Muskoka, as we serve others in love. I don't know if you know Dan Wyatt, a lawyer in town who had a quadruple bypass in the last week. And he's a member of Rotary and one of our Rotary guys. And I'm on the family of Rotary committee, and I went to the store and we sent flowers to his house so that he would know that people are caring for him in the middle of this trial. So for hundreds of years, the church and the bigger church, the Catholic Church, has focused on the cross. There's been a lot of emphasis on the cross and the subject of salvation and heaven. And that's an important message. Jesus did die on the cross. His death on the cross was what gave him the keys of death and Hades and allowed him to go from hell up to heaven and sit down on the right-hand side of God because his work was done. That was great work. But in addition to that, there's more than salvation. There's this relationship that we can have with God today, right now. As we sing and we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room, that's a relationship right now with God. We don't have to wait. Our souls are designed for love. But we're hurt by living in this fallen world, and we become wounded. And we listen to the lies, and then we start to live out of performance to try and prove that we're okay, instead of grace. And we live out of fear instead of freedom. And we try to prove to others that we're okay because inside we sort of feel that we're not okay. I had an email this morning. And this woman I've known from Oakville, she's a leader. She's a worship leader. She sings. She's up front. And she said, "Alf, you know I'm up front and I'm out there leading and I look confident and I look strong and yet there's something wrong inside of me and I need to do some inner healing work. Would you be willing to meet with me and do some work so that my insides are okay?" And so Jesus came so that we can do that work today. Without God and his truth, we live in unbelief, pride, idolatry, fear, and the sins of the flesh. But in 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. God is the solution. What our souls crave for is love, and we want to be loved unconditionally. And the key to the healing of our souls is what Jesus offers, getting into a right relationship with God the Father so that he can fill us with his love. You know, as a Christian counselor, one of the things that I see all the time are wounded people. And they're wounded because they've listened to lies and they've listened to words that hurt them. And it makes them feel bad. And I just wished that there was a special pitcher of love that you could come over and you could pour into them, and this love would just sort of flow down from the top of their head down into their heart and fill their souls, and all of a sudden they would be transformed. Well, we actually can do that. And the transformation comes from the truth of God and his love. And when I first became a Christian and saw this loving other thing, I thought, this is really difficult work. So think about a loving cup here and a person over here, and you take something out of your loving cup and you give it to that other person. Now, this cup has a little less in it, because you've given some love away. Now, wouldn't it be nice if this person who got loved gave you some love back and put it in your cup? And then you'd have the same amount of love in your cup. But often, that doesn't happen. You give the love, and then you don't get it back. You know, it's like the old Christmas list where you send out Christmas cards and you keep track of who sent you the card back. And when they didn't send you a card back next year, you don't send them a card. Cut them off the list because they didn't love me back. That's sort of the secular world, you know? You love to get loved. Now, you got this loving cup here, and you love this person once, and then you don't get anything back. And you love this person a second time, and you don't get anything back. And you love this person a third time, and you don't get anything back. And now the cup's empty. Now you got nothing in the cup to give, so you stop loving them. Now, I thought God was really selfish, because he said he wants everybody to love him. That, to me, that sounded selfish. All he wants is 7 billion people loving him. But what I didn't understand was, he said, "Love me, so that I can put love in your cup." Amen. And as you worship God and God loves you back and he puts love in your cup, now you can love this person over here even if they don't love you back. And if this cup is starting to get a little low, then you go back to, oh, fill it up a little more, Lord, fill it up a little more, because I got lots of people I need to give love away to. And as you give this love away, you don't have to be empty because you have a personal relationship with God. And in that personal relationship, he will fill you with love, and that love will go into your soul, and he will give you what you need to keep on going. We cannot love others if we do not love ourselves. And no mortal person can give us enough love to heal our soul. Some people marry so that they can have another person love them so that they can be okay. But that other person can never give enough love to fill that place inside of you. That's why our relationship with Abba Father is so important. When we turn to God, we can receive the divine love that can heal broken hearts. When we are in relationship with God, we can know God's will. When we hear God's truth, we can know our true self in Christ. When our hearts and souls are healed with God's love, we can be free of Satan's grasp and now unconditionally serve others in love. Come to God the Father through Jesus. Acts 4, verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." It's Jesus. That's why he came to earth. Come to God and be healed with his love. And listen to these words. Just close your eyes and just listen to these words. "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, do not be afraid, for I am with you." That's the Lord speaking through the truth of Scripture. So as you turn to God and develop your ability to listen to God's words, and that's one of the things that I do in my work, a lot of it is listening prayer. It's praying to God and listening. We can do that because we have a living God. He will transform you with his love and truth. That's what God's grace is all about. The free gift of his unconditional love. For our sake, God the Father wants a relationship with us. And that's why Jesus Christ came to earth. Let us pray. Dear Jesus,